Well, hello there, friend. I am recording this. My husband is out of town. By the time you hear it, he will be back in town. So if there's any crazies out there, don't come for me because my packing husband is back in town. But I decided to just batch work a whole bunch of podcast recordings. For when he was gone, that way I can really foster my relationship with him when he's here. And turns out batch working is really good for people with ADHD because you just do the same thing, blah, 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 bang it all out. And then next week I'll edit it, which really doesn't take me very long because, well, you all know I leave all the ums and the ifs and the buts. Like, I don't edit all of that stuff out, so that's not going to take a lot. But I want to talk about today suffering. And this is something I really learned how to bond with and like not fight anymore when the suffering comes. And there's been things in my life that have happened, and someday I'll share like the tinier details and the specifics. So I'm going to be a little cryptic, but there has been times in my life where I get like, where you're going through significant suffering. Okay. It could be the loss of a friendship, a loss of a friend or a family member. It could be sickness. It could be betrayal. It could be somebody that you love that is sick and suffering. Whatever this suffering is, it could be financial. I mean, whatever it is. It could even be when your husband's out of town working, or if he's in the military and he's off doing a scary job, you know, or not in the military doing a scary job, police officers, whatever. So imagine any type of suffering, you know, you go through in your life. And I feel like we just see suffering on the news all the time. And I don't think specifically the American church teaches us to suffer well.
Welcome to the Holy Hot Mess Podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and this is the podcast where we strive for holiness even when everything in the world and our personal lives can feel like it's a massive hot mess. From deep theological chats to simple practical advice, we talk about it all here, all in hopes that we can encourage each other to keep our eyes, hearts, and minds set on heaven.
Okay, guys, so we are at a little ad break, and I just wanted to give a shout out to today's sponsor for this podcast episode, and it is Blessed Is She. If you have never heard of Blessed Is She, it is a Catholic women's, mostly women's, Bible study, a devotional group, and they, every Lent, every Advent, year round, they have the most beautiful Catholic Bible studies. And my Bible study group is actually a Blessed Is She group. We primarily do Blessed Is She studies, and we have for over 3 years, and we absolutely love it. Their Lenten studies are always beautiful. They have these beautiful books. You can buy them in hard copies, or you can just get the PDF and save some money. But I highly recommend getting them for yourself, but consider starting your own Blessed Is She group. You know, those women have become a staple in my life, and I don't know where I would be or what I would do without them and their guidance and their wisdom and the things I've learned from them. And it all came through Blessed Is She. So if you are interested in checking out Blessed Is She, go to holyhotmess.net/blessedisshe. That's BLESSEDISSHE. And it's going to redirect you to their website through my affiliate link. And then you use code holyhotmess for 15% off your first order. I think the church, Holy Mother Church, teaches us very well how to suffer. But I don't think the American church does. And I'm trying to figure out like the train of thought on this, but just in my experience, when you fight against suffering, it makes it worse. If you think about, and I've spoken on it before, but if you think about heaven,
Okay, so heaven just means that you are in perfect union with God. If you are in perfect union with God, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's none of that. But if you're in perfect union with God, that means your will is perfectly aligned to His will. And what is God's will? God's will is that all of us humans are in heaven, right? How do you purge yourself on earth of selfishness? Well, you die to self, right? In suffering, God is kind of forcing that death to self, and it's forcing us to be dependent on Him. And because He's a gentleman, He still gives you a choice, right? So you have the choice to surrender to the suffering, or you have the choice to fight against it. And in this culture that we live in that says, do you, boo-boo, like you're a boss babe, you can do whatever you set your mind to, the reality is we really don't have control over anything in our lives other than how we react to our surroundings, right? We can control our own bodies to an extent. I mean, people get sick and jobs are lost, you know, whatever the suffering is. And just in the past, I've really allowed the suffering to be like, woe is me, God, why does this happen? And I did a whole podcast episode like early in the beginning about one of my conversion moments was learning why bad things happen. And bad things happen either because, it's sin. It's the consequence of sin. But it either happens because you've sinned and it's the consequence of your own sin. Somebody else has sinned and it's the consequence of their sin and you're caught in the crossfire, or original sin. And it's the consequence of original sin, and therefore things aren't perfect. Cells mutate and diseases happen and things like that. But years ago, you know, I would just sit back and think, woe is me, God hates me, I hate God. Why would this happen to me? I'm a quote unquote good person. I look back on those journeys now and I realize the more I suffered, the more it led me to the foundation of faith that was laid in my upbringing. And that didn't even need to be a super intricate faith. It's just sometimes in order to build you up into the saint the Lord wants you to be, He has to break you down to the foundation and build it up Himself one by one. And that's where the surrendering comes in, is you have to allow Him to rebuild it, right? He has the master plan for your life. So in those moments of suffering, if we can pull ourselves back and just say, okay, God, I know that you love me, and I know in my soul that you want what is best for me. What you want that is best for me is not safety, security, necessarily even happiness, painlessness, any of that here on earth. What you want for me is for me to spend eternity with you in heaven. And if we can surrender ourselves to that in these times or seasons or moments of suffering, then we can say, then I'm surrendering to you because I know ultimately good will come of this suffering. And you have to think about it. That's what Jesus did on the cross, right? His will was perfectly aligned with the Father, that it was like, you know, let this cup pass for me because this sucks, but not my will, but yours be done, because you know ultimately the plan of salvation. And for Jesus, it was for the whole world. And as a believer, you don't know how your suffering and how you carry your crosses with grace and continual faith, even when life's circumstances would wreck others' faith. You carrying yourself that way has an insane amount of weight. And we don't understand that because we live, you know, in our selfish world. We're looking inward on ourselves. But there's prayers that you don't even know are being answered in your suffering. And so, you know, a while ago, I dealt with somebody I love very much betraying me. And I've been praying for this person to find God and deepen their faith and soften their hearts and follow Christ for years and years. And ultimately, this person ended up really hurting me. And I immediately was just like so betrayed. And I felt like, okay, Jesus, you were betrayed too. Like, what did you do? You know? And Jesus went into the garden and sobbed because he knew he was being betrayed. And I sobbed. And in my sobbing, I heard God saying, this is what you asked for. And I thought, no. This is not what I asked for. I asked for this person to come to God, and I was hoping that it would be me sharing them, you know, a theology podcast through text messages, or, you know, me spending time with them and encouraging them to like get on the Formed app or something like that. And I didn't think that it was going to come at my expense. And God said, you know, a soul is a really big deal. That's the most precious thing in the world to God, and it's also the most precious thing in the world to the devil. And when suffering is required, it's like, of course suffering is required. That's what Jesus had to suffer on the cross for souls. So if you are praying for a loved one, for a friend, for a family member to turn their life around from addiction or whatever, and find Christ, then like there's probably going to be some suffering in that. And I kept saying, this is not what I want. And God kept answering, this is exactly what you're asking for. You have no clue how I'm moving in this person's life. You have no clue how I'm moving in your life. And I just, praise God, very quickly said, okay. Then if this person has to continue to harm me or chooses to continue to harm me, ultimately, I know that you have promised me I will see this person in heaven someday. And knowing that, it made all the suffering that much more bearable. And I will say this person, I think in the grand scheme of life, was not as big of a thing as I was just very betrayed by how they had treated me. And that person, when I continued to speak to them and honestly only through the Holy Spirit treat them charitably, they actually said, I have a really hard time loving myself. And I don't understand how I could love myself and the things I've done in my life. And I don't know and understand how God can love me because of the things I did in my life. But I see that you are choosing to forgive me and you are choosing to love me, even though I hurt you. And if you can do that, then God can certainly do that. And in this beautiful friend, like I've seen so much growth and beauty and humility come out of that. And we live in a world that says, like, when you cause me suffering, I retaliate back at you. And I think it says more about the power of Christ when you restrain yourself from that. So if you're suffering with hurt and maybe physical illness, maybe stop yourself. And just for a moment, breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out, I trust in your love, God. Breathe it in, the Holy Spirit, and breathe out the trust in God. Offer your suffering up as a prayer for souls because Christ suffered on the cross for souls. And if you're being called to suffering, there is a purpose to that suffering. Your suffering might not even end until you go to your heavenly home. But if you can take the suffering and make it worthwhile because you're offering it for purification of yourself, purification of loved ones, conversions of friends and family, then it gives that hardship meaning. And that gives you hope, right? I always think about, you know, when I made the attempt at my life, and how I had no hope. People who do those things have no hope. They are shameful. They are in such a dark place that they have no hope in a God who loves them and a God who ultimately wants their good, which is heaven. You might be broken, poor, and living in a cardboard box, but God still loves you so much that he died for you and wants you in heaven. And so what better way to show him that you love him back by offering that suffering up for the conversion of souls, for fallen away friends and family? And I just hope that if somebody's going through some sort of a hardship, that you can stop and say, like, you know, purgatory is all suffering. Why is that? Because suffering purifies us. That is the fire that purifies souls. And when your eyes are set on heaven, it's like this burning fire that burns away all the imperfections. Now, suffering on earth, when we're in purgatory, we don't have the choice. Okay. We've already committed our love to God. We've already committed this relationship, and God has already chosen us, judged us, and said, like, yes, you are going to heaven. Okay. So purgatory is not your second chance. Purgatory is your kind of the infirmary where you're going in there to burn off through suffering your imperfections. And we don't have a choice in that. The choice was made when we were on earth, when we chose Jesus and living in mortal sin or not, right? But when we're on earth, we still have free will and we still have a choice. And so you can choose to suffer and have it mean nothing. Or you can choose that in this suffering I'm being dealt, I'm going to choose to suffer for the Lord. I'm going to choose to lift other souls up when mine is feeling down. I'm going to choose to offer this up. And that speaks a multitude to how God is working in your life. And that leads to other people saying, oh, I remember years ago when Jessica, making up a name, when Jessica was really suffering from whatever it was, and she just had such a beautiful faith and she offered it up. And those are the stories of the saints, guys. You're called to be a saint. So this worldly view of suffering, that it's woe is me and I'm a victim, we can turn that on our head. Yes, it sucks. But I'm also chosen for this. I'm chosen for this journey that God wants me on, because if I surrender to the journey that he is leading and I let him illuminate the path, then souls come along for the ride when they see it. And there's going to be nothing greater in your life than to get to the gates of heaven and be able to see everyone that you were able to encourage on their path to heaven. And we have to choose that when we suffer. So if you are suffering, just please know that I'm praying for you, that friendships are hard and parenting is hard and marriage is hard and health struggles are hard and watching friends and family suffer is terrible. But it doesn't have to be pointless. And I guess that's really just the point. It doesn't have to be pointless. It can have a purpose, and that purpose can be for the salvation of souls. And you don't do that. You know, it's not our doing, but we can unite our suffering with Christ, and he did it. You know, don't let your suffering cause you to be a casualty in the war of life and death. We know that Christ has already won. We know that. The gates of heaven were open. Christ has won the war. But there's still individual battles for souls to be won. And if you choose to just hit that victimhood, decide that woe is me and life is terrible and there's, you know, God doesn't see me or he doesn't love me. If you're choosing to say those things, you're choosing not to unite your suffering with Christ. And that has an effect on souls. So I just wanted to encourage anybody in this little mini episode, and I'll post this And if you are struggling and suffering with anything, go ahead and head to my website. I'm actually making this up on the fly. Head to my website and go to holyhotmess.net/suffering. And I'm going to put like a little comment box or something so that you can put prayer requests for your suffering that, you know, and then maybe we can all offer our sufferings, our little S sufferings or our big S sufferings for everyone, for the conversion of each other's friends and family members. So holyhotmess.net/suffering. And yeah, add your requests in there, add your intentions. Until next time. This was kind of a bummer one, but it's supposed to be uplifting in the end.